Yes, that line forms on the right, babe.
Oh, let's go.
Maggie.
Has it been a week already?
Back in town.
Look out,
yeah.
Is back.
Great.
Chris McMahon. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. 102 on the Fan. McMonagle back with you. I know you missed me. You don't have to tell me. I know. I missed you, too. A full week. We'll get into my vacation, why my nose is all bandaged up, and why it wasn't quite the staycation I was hoping for, but we'll do that later. Let's talk about the main reason that my vacation sucked. The New York Yankees. Let's go. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. We got Fleegs on the other side, and we got you till 5 a.m. when the warm-up show comes your way. And yes, the Yankees ruined my vacation, among many other things. But this Yankee team is infuriating to watch. And I know. I've been trying to tell myself that this team can be fixed, that this team is just in a rut, and everything else that's gone on. And honestly, I was with Aaron Boone when everybody was laughing at him at the end of the first half before the All-Star break and that disgusting loss on Sunday. I know it's a week plus now. I haven't been on the radio. We don't have to get into that disgusting, despicable game. We don't have to have the conversation on whether Clay Holmes was to blame or not. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I don't blame Clay Holmes when outfielders fall on their face. I don't tend to blame the closer for that. We get to it, that disgusting loss. But you know I have always been a proponent of momentum. And I was with Aaron Boone that I did see some things in that Baltimore series. One, we've seen the ace, Gerrit Cole, return to ace form in the last two starts. But at that point, he had a great start against Baltimore. We have seen Luis Gil come back and throw the baseball well. Actually, the bullpen had been better up until this, you know, last couple games. Where you saw Cousins give you some good performances. Hill give you some good performances. You've been getting better performances from the bullpen. And I did believe in Aaron Boone in some of the things he said about turning the corner. I know everybody gets so hung up on it. Oh, how could you say we're turning the corner? How could you say we're turning the corner? We just, two out of three against Baltimore. We turned the corner? We blew it in the ninth inning. Yes. Arguably the two best defensive players on the team last Sunday before the All-Star game decided to boot the easiest ground ball Volpe's had all year, and Verdugo fell down. But having said all that, I felt some momentum. That Rice home run to give them the lead in the ninth, winning two out of three, being literally a guy falling down in the outfield away from sweeping Baltimore. Then they come out of the dopey All-Star break and everything that happened between them. We can get into the home run derby and everything else you want to. We got 4 hours, 888-808-1019. They come out and they give you Friday night. And yes, it's Soto getting four hits. Yes, it's Gerrit Cole pitching well. It's not some of the ills that have contributed to this disgusting play over the last 29 or so games, more than that probably. But still, it was a coming off winning two out of three against Baltimore. You get that game Friday night. You're feeling good a little bit. You're feeling a little bit good. It's three out of four. It's in the Eastern Division, which they've struggled with all year. They look competent. The starting pitching's been better. And then they give you this slop over the last two games. And I have to tell you, it's frustrating for me. And I understand it's frustrating for all of us. But watching these last two games, watching the offense and their inability to get anything going on Saturday, their inability to get runners home at the beginning of this game yesterday, bases loaded in the first two innings, and they can't get the run across, whether it's Gleyber Torres hitting a fly ball not deep enough to get the run in. The double plays we've seen over and over and over again. It's maddening. It's maddening. Even in this case, yesterday, bases loaded, you get Juan Soto, and I don't want to hear it. All right, sometimes things just happen. Juan Soto's been great, and don't tell me, oh, what are you swinging with a 3-0 count? As you're watching the game, Juan Soto has a bases loaded, one out, Judge on deck. He gets a 3-0 count, and he hits a bullet that turns into a double play. And if you want to get on Juan Soto for swinging 3-0, you know what? either go call another show or call me and get yelled at, because all we do is talk about the guy's looking for walks. The guy's looking for walks. The guy's looking for walks. He's one of two hitters that can do anything in this lineup. Just ask Luis Severino. He's one of two hitters. He gets, if he believes he's got a cookie 3-0, you swing at it. He did the same thing against Toronto 2 or 3 weeks ago and hit a 3-run home run that felt like the same game that Stroman was screaming. It felt like it might have changed the damn season. That was a huge home run. If Soto likes a pitch, you try and do damage. But even he gets caught up in the Yankee ineptitude of scoring with runners in scoring position, getting a runner in from third with less than two outs. And this isn't just this year. This isn't just the last couple of years. It's been as long as I can remember. I have to watch Yankeeography to go back to a time when they were able to get the runner in from third. It's absolutely mind-numbing watching this team play offense. Mind-numbing. And yes, the pitching, no doubt, has been just as bad outside of Luis Gil and Gerrit Cole, who I talked about. And you know what? Let's get into the mindset. Let's do it. Let's have the conversation. Let's have the conversation you all want to have about Aaron Boone and the mindset of this Yankee team. And the tweet from Nestor Cortes, because even I, and I've got on Boone before, I will defend him against some of the nonsense and the over-the-top crap I hear, and people get hung up on, oh, did he say turn the corner? Like, relax. We get too nuts. But what I will say is now I am tired of some of the things I'm hearing, and not so much from Boone, and I get that he's going to defend his players. But when it starts to really rub off on the players on this level, even I have to perk an eye up and go, well, this is absolute nonsense. Now, I didn't have the problem with Nestor Cortes' tweet so much. Everybody wants to be us. I want to be on a team that always competes. Because you know what? That's what we say every offseason when we talk about free agents coming to the Yankees. It's a place to win. It's a place you can compete every single year for a championship. It's a team you know they're going to field at least a top payroll and give you a chance to win. We talk about it all the time. We just don't want to hear it from our players. I didn't have a problem necessarily with him trying to get back at a couple of guys in a all-star post-game show or whatever it was, where they wanted to try and make a couple of laughs at the Yankees' expense, and he got all riled up and made a stupid tweet. Now, it didn't bother me necessarily what he said, but what you can't do, when you're Nestor Cortes and you've been dominant at home and one of the worst pitchers in Major League Baseball on the road, you can't go out there and spit the bit the way he did. And then after the game, say the same crap. And what happened today, again, is Marcus Stroman saying in the postgame show, and again, I don't care about Boone defending players. We know that's what he's going to do. But I am going to get on him when we continue to hear the same crap from the players too. And when Marcus Stroman said today that I don't expect, hey, listen, we're not playing the way we want to play. I don't expect this to last long. Don't expect this to last long. Are we aware of what's going on? Are we aware? Are we aware that you are now 9-20 over the last 29 games? Are you aware that only the Chicago White Sox are worse than you? Are you aware you turned a season where you hit the 50-win mark at the beginning of June into a season where now you are 3 games in the loss column out of missing the playoffs? Are you aware of what is going on? Because it's one thing when questioned by reporters from the manager who wants to defend his players publicly. It's another for players to make it seem like they're unaware of the situation they're in. You want to get on Boone? Let's do it. Because that's where I have a problem. I don't have a problem with his in-game management. I don't have a problem with him defending his players. I have a problem if the entire team's mentality is going to be, I don't expect this to last long when it's been a month. And watching this crap is driving me crazy. Sunday in Baltimore, and then these last 2 games, the inability to contain and build on any momentum is absolutely mind-numbing. They went how long without winning back-to-back games? They went a freaking month without winning back-to-back games, let alone a series, just back-to-back games. They finally accomplished that in Baltimore. They get a home run from Ben Rice, the kid, to give them a lead heading into the ninth inning. And yes, Clay Holmes walked a couple of hitters. Clay Holmes got 4 outs in that inning. It's all wiped away by a booted ground ball and an outfielder falling down on a 99% probability catch ball. That's how they hold on to momentum. Then they come out of the All-Star break after having dealt with that, after saying, trying to talk themselves all week into, hey, we won two out of three. Hey, we won two out of three. Things are turning around. They give you a Friday night where they look like a dominant baseball team. Yet again, we saw glimpses of ace Gerrit Cole on the mound, the great Juan Soto they traded for coming through with four hits and driving in runs, and they win a comfortable game, and it looks fairly easy. And then they follow it up with these two miserable performances against Tampa Bay, who can't hit, by the way. Who can't hit, scoring all these runs, adding on runs to the bullpen at the end of the game, and the offense and their inability to come through in any meaningful situation, particularly at the beginning of games. And what's killed this Yankee team, and watching them play, these games are over in the first few innings, whether it's a starter giving up five or six runs in the first couple of innings, or whether it's this offense and their inability to come through in these situations and early in the game. And it happened. You could see it in any game. Friday night, Mets, Pete Alonso hits into a double play in the first inning. When you put runners on early in the game and you're going against doesn't have to be a good starting pitcher, right? With the cliche of you better get to him early. That really works for almost any starting pitcher, right? Maybe not better get to him, but you have a good chance to get to him. And it changes the game when you break it open early. What happened Friday night? Volpe, double down the line, breaks open the game, away the Yankees go. What happens in this game, particularly yesterday? Bases loaded, can't bring him in. Bases loaded, a 3-0 count with Juan Soto up. If you can't score a run in that situation, think about that situation. For as lousy as the back end of this lineup has been, and it's been putrid, they found themselves in a situation yesterday where they have one out, the base is loaded, and a 3-0 count on Juan Soto followed by Aaron Judge, and they could not score a run. They could not score a run in that situation. It's embarrassing. This lineup's embarrassing. Right now, the team's embarrassing. And I'm not going to say the manager is embarrassing, but the message coming from the players, which is dictated to them by the manager, is becoming embarrassing. And even I, the Yankee shill, the Cashman and Boone shill, which, by the way, I got to stop tweeting sarcastically. Nobody gets sarcasm. I clearly put out a Boone tweet as a knock to all the Cashman haters. I was clearly being sarcastic about Aaron Boone and his 600 winning percentage. Nobody gets it. That's fine. But I can't hear multiple players continue to say, well, listen, we have a lot of faith in the guys here. We don't expect this to last too long. When it's already been a month. Like, what are you talking? There's only been like three of these in the season. It's a six-month season. You're halfway through it. And for a third of the year, you've been the worst team in baseball. Well, I don't expect it to last very long. No, you don't. The only saving grace is that they got the trade deadline coming up. And let's talk about that for a second. Because here's the fact of the matter. Said it once, say it again. There are three players on this Yankee team that you cannot hide. There are three Yankee players on this team that you cannot replace. They cannot trade for everyone. There are three players who need to be better, and I had this conversation with Evan last Friday when I filled in for Tiki. Anthony Volpe, Gleyber Torres, and Alex Verdugo. Those three players cannot be hid anywhere in the lineup. Oh, he's hitting first. Oh, he's hitting cleanup. It doesn't matter. We can complain about lineup construction all we want. They don't have better answers. They're trying to get guys going. You know why they're putting Verdugo at the top of the order? Do you know why they're trying to get Verdugo fastballs? Because they need him. Because they can't attack the trade deadline as much faith as I might have in Brian Cashman, silly me. He can't go out there and revamp the entire team. In my mind, DJ LeMahieu is cooked. He's done. I was very concerned about foot injury. He's done. They have to be able to replace DJ LeMahieu. Go get a third baseman. You might be able to get another arm in the bullpen. You got Efros coming at some point. You get another arm in the bullpen, a good, legitimately back end of the bullpen arm. I think they can do that. You might even be able to get a back end of the rotation, mid rotation starter that you feel better about than Carlos Rodon, who's on the hook to salvage the series later today. But you might be able to get a starter who can help you a little bit. I don't think you're going to get a top of the rotation starter, but you might be able to get a decent third starter. You're going to be able to hopefully get a pretty damn good bullpen arm who can hopefully miss some bats. And you're probably going to be able to get a third baseman to replace DJ LeMahieu. That's it. I don't know what you think is going to come from this trade deadline. It is not going to revamp the entire freaking team. They're going to need Stanton to come back, who hopefully he's on the mend and will be here quickly, and we're going to do more on Stanton a little bit later in the show. You obviously need the Martian, Jason Dominguez, to come back, be part of the team. John Birdie is going to come back and be part of the team. And while we all laugh at the cliche of, oh, it'll be like making a midseason trade when the injuries come back, you can laugh at that all you want. They desperately need it. Hopefully it's happening. They desperately need it. You can't go out and trade for 6-7 guys. They're making 3 moves. And believe me, they're making them. I heard Laurie and Fliegelman discussing whether or not the Yankees are going to be, impact buyers. They have no choice. This team can't play bad enough over the next couple of days. They are absolutely out there hunting to salvage this season. They have no choice. This is an all-in year with Juan Soto. We all know this. We knew it heading in. And I think everyone besides Jason Dominguez is on the table. They will trade Spencer. They will Spencer Jones. They will trade whoever they need. Warren, they will trade whoever they need to help impact this team. But even with them, you can't revamp a whole team. So if you're in the camp that Verdugo is going to have the worst season of his career, if you are in the camp that Gleyber Torres is beyond saving, and again, when he makes an error, you know it's going to come back and hurt them. You just know it. You know it. He makes an error in this game. Other guys might make an error, and the Yankees could sneak by. Gleyber Torres makes an error. That third run's coming to score. You mark it down. But if you think Gleyber Torres is this version and will never get better over the next 2 months of the season, if you think Volpe was a flash in the pan in April and is this player that we're watching right now, well, say goodbye to any chance the Yankees have of serious winning in the MLB playoffs if they even get there. Because they can't replace the whole team. They can't. Brian Cashman, as limited as you may think he is, and as much as I think he could still go out there and help this team, he can't change the entire roster. Verdugo was brought here to be a cog. He was for the first 2 months. He was. We can downplay it now because he's been awful, and he's 15 for his last 101. 50. I actually said that, and it happens to be true. 15 for his last 101. If he's going to be 30 for 202, the Yankees aren't winning. If Gleyber Torres is going to be this bad, the Yankees aren't winning. And if Anthony Volpe is making you wonder whether he should get a couple of weeks in AAA, the Yankees aren't going to be winning. So it's up to those players to step up. It's up to the manager to create some urgency. And it's up to the GM to get a couple of pieces, a third baseman, a reliever, and maybe a starter to help this team. But it's up to the guys in the room as well to improve. And I still believe it can happen, but man, do they make it freaking hard to try and keep that alive. Because if they're not going to do it after finally winning a series, the first 2 games against Baltimore, and then literally choke away a game like I've never seen choked away a game last Sunday, and if they're going to come out of the All-Star break and put arguably their cleanest performance of this entire stretch and go out there and win a nice, clean, crisp, well-pitched, run-scoring game. Volpe comes through with the big hit. If they can't follow that up with anything other than this lifeless crap that we've seen over the last 2 days, then you can kiss it goodbye, and we don't have to wait for July 30th. It is impossible to watch this team. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. So we're talking Yankees to start. We will get to the Mets, who also, disappointingly, have now lost the first 2 of 3 in this 4-game set against Miami, who has always been, how many years now have they been the thorn in the side of the New York Mets? They are 5-4 against the Mets, and they can't buy a win against anybody else in the NL East. It's amazing. And they have a huge game coming up later today, as well as the Yankees do, to salvage 4-game sets against opponents they should be beating. We'll get to Pete Alonso because I think there's a conversation to be had about Pete Alonso. We'll get to the trade deadline. We'll get to all of it. We'll get to Aaron Boone. We'll get to Stanton. We'll also get to some football. And again, I haven't been here for a week, so I might, you know, tie some loose ends that have been bothering me all week. But we got to get to John Mara and some of the perception that came out of that Hard Knocks episode last Tuesday as we wait for the next one. So we'll get to that. We'll get to some football. Obviously, the Jets might be getting another wide receiver. A lot to do. 4 hours to do it. McMonagle back from vacation here till 5 o'clock in the morning right here on The Fan.